This is a download from the BBC. To download other programmes or for more information, go online.
bbc.co.uk/5live.
The Christian O'Connell Solution.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
God, it feels like I'm in a nightclub. Hi, I'm Christian O'Connell from the Christian O'Connell Solution. It's a new show, and this is how it's going to work. Every single Sunday for the next hour, I'm going to have three guests, and we're going to go through all the week's problems, big, small, and otherwise, and they have to try and solve them. I've got three brilliant guests this morning. Well, we'll wait and see. Might be too early to say that. First up, then, a fantastic comedian, and his problem is he still doesn't know how you clear his internet browser history. Why he'd need to do that and hide from his wife, I don't know. But welcome to the Christian O'Connell Solution, Bob Mills.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Yeah, good to
be back.
And that's
who you're going
to
be from now on. Here, aren't you Christian O'Connell off of the Christian O'Connell Solution?
Okay, also joining us... be prepared. Whenever this lady opens her mouth, there's usually trouble. So it should be an interesting 60 minutes. Peter Stringfellow said she's rubbish at pole dancing. That's a great accolade, though. I'd be happy with that. I'd be worried if someone said you were good. She's got an addiction to grapes, and she once claimed that all CBBC presenters are gay, childless, and don't like kids. Kirsten O'Brien.
That was a bit harsh, actually. They're not all childless.
Brilliant. Thanks for clearing that up this morning. An addiction to grapes.
Yeah.
Is that another way, like a posh way of saying you're a wino?
Yeah, sort of. It's, fancy way of saying I like booze.
Ah.
And then, thank you, that's the man I'm just about to introduce. Finally, a man with some big problems. He's named after one of the Pet Shop Boys. And apparently he's officially less sexy than James McAvoy. Welcome, David Tennant.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here. Much less sexy than James McAvoy.
Oh, I think you're fine sexy. Well, listen.
I'd much rather go with James McAvoy.
Okay, so over the next hour, we're going to be looking at the Oasis split, what to do with your redundant barbecues, vegetable sabotage. As I'm reading this out, I'm suddenly aware that it feels like the Trail 4 this morning. And Dr. Hilary Jones is going to be joining us, having a
been making the sideways, perfect drizzle cake.
Yeah. Sideways look at the funny world of prostate exams. Vegetable sabotage and smaller problems like teen drinking, and if we've got time, we'll try and cram it at the end, global warming. You can also email us, solution@bbc.co.uk, and we're on Twitter, the OC Solution. All right, let's start with a big problem this week, and to introduce it, it is Five Lives' Nikki Campbell.
Hello, Christian. Nikki Campbell here. Gordon Brown, David Cameron and Nick Clegg can't agree on rules for a televised election debate.
Now, Nikki Campbell can't agree on where exactly he is from in southern Asia. Okay, panel, we need to come up with a format. We are apparently months away from having our first ever prime ministerial kind of TV debate like they do in America. So they need some rules and they need some formats. I'm kind of thinking Brown, Clegg, Cameron, Lycra, hole in the wall. Mm. As they have to basically go into the shapes that are affecting Britain today. So when you talk about knife crime, suddenly you're going to see how Brown, Clegg and Cameron have to fit in to the cutout shape of a knife. For teen drinking, you've got a cider can. I think this format's got legs. Also, who doesn't like Come Dine With Me?
Oh, that's a great idea.
Genuinely, I think it's a good idea. We'd find out a bit more about Brown, Clegg and Cameron. Yeah. Brown, I see, is a Viennetta man or Arctic roll for puddings. Garlic bread, Clegg, it says to me, garlic bread. Those are some ideas I've got. David, what do you think?
Well, I want the Prime Minister of the country to be the cleverest person in the room. You know, I think we can sometimes get deluded with who wears the nicest suit. So I'd strip that off. I'd get them in Guantanamo Bay-style boiler suits and give them, like, a maths test, like top 10 metric mental. Remember you have at school every morning?
Yeah, yeah.
And you'd see, literally, who's the cleverest person in the room, you know?
So you're talking about arithmetic will sort out...
Yeah, you've borrowed 700... No, the national debt's 700 billion. You've borrowed 500 billion from an Icelandic bank. How deep are you in it? Yeah. That kind of question.
Please show we're working as well.
Don't show you're working.
On the margin there.
Yeah, we can get Carol Vorderman to mark it.
Yes, brilliant. That's a great idea. Kirsten?
I'm sort of on your games tip as well, actually. I think Twister would be good. Imagine, blue, left foot. Ooh, Clegg's down. He's not allowed to discuss immigration. That type of thing. Or sumo suits. Gentlemanly, you know, in Parliament Square, at dawn, fat suits, sumo suits, just wrestle it out.
You're talking about some kind of Takeshi's Castle, aren't
you? Yeah,
yes.
I'm watching that.
Gordon Brown's already got the advantage there with the fat sumo
suit. He's got
suit.
The weight, yes. But Clegg's quite nifty, I'd imagine.
Did you? Is it, what was it called? Top 10 metric mental.
Did you not have that every morning?
We did not have that.
Don't forget,
every
in Scotland, you always have, like, it's a lot easier to exams up there, aren't they?
It's a better education system. I think that's what you're struggling to see.
Come on. So you would get in every morning and they'd say, right, children,
you
top
do
10 metric mental.
Yeah, do 1 to 10 in your notebook.
And then you passed.
They'd be read out and you'd have to do it in your head, hence the metric mental.
What,
and
you'd write out 1 to 10?
Wow.
No, you don't count.
Out loud.
You'd be given audio
maths one,
problems.
Och two. That's Nicky Campbell's here again.
Yeah. Why didn't we get David to do the ridiculous Nicky Campbell voice, by the way, as we actually have a Scot in the room?
That was Nicky Campbell, Bob.
Yeah, yes, of course it was. David Cameron said, I think we should take the mudslinging out of politics. That's what he wants to do. I say, and why would that be then, Dave? That's what we like, a bit of mudslinging. And in fact, there's a club in Poplar. I need say no more than that.
No, please.
But I say let's get Cameron and Clegg and Wee Gordon down there. They've got like it's lovely. It's like postmodern ironic art form. Basically, it's a boxing ring, but it's full of mud. And in the evening, they have a show on. Now, what I'm saying is during the afternoon, you could get the three party leaders down there and get it on. And whoever emerges...
When
I
you
think
say
general...
get it on, can we just have a wee bit more detail or clarification?
Well, my memory of it, and it's rather...
drunk.
Yes. Is there's basically, there's a fight, not particularly, I don't think the rules, I don't think there's any formal rules to this fight. I think it's just fighting. And the pulling off of various items of clothing goes on to an extent. And then I think the winner gets hosed down with champagne. That's my vague memory of it. And I just think whoever came out of that, there you go, you're the man, you're the governor, 4 years, give him a job.
I think Gordon would take them down, two little...
Scots kind of street fighter.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Who do you think should host it? Because about 10 years ago, I think it was 97, they almost did it, but they couldn't agree on a host. At the moment,
Sir David Frost. The mudslinging or the...
Sesame Checkers.
Yeah.
It's got Checkers. Someone called Checkers. We need you. Yeah, who do you think should host it?
Did you say... why not Nicky Campbell? I mean, I think Nicky's the man. He has that sort of air of gravitas, and yet I might be about to do a gag. Is that gonna happen? He does that whole thing, and so we're going to talk about the Lockerbie bombing, but... And he's just got the little twinkle.
I think Jeremy Kyle.
Oh, yeah,
but then
yes.
As he does it on daytime TV with all kind
all
of inbreds and white trash and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
We've had a couple of tweets that have came in. Thank you very much for these. We should do a Krypton Factor contest. Gordon Burns, what a great show that was. Level playing field with a twist. We can pout tomatoes at them on the assault course. That's some Giant 71. This one's Jono Big Blind. That's the thing about Twitter. You don't know who's anyone. Who is Jono Big Blind? They have to draw their answers/solutions like, and what a great TV show. I'm just about to bring back here. Win, lose, or draw.
Now, that would work.
By our very own Bob Mills.
Those were the glory days. Yeah. Thank you very much for reminding me of the time I had a career. That was lovely.
Hey, come on, you're on Five Live.
Oh,
I'll tell you, Bob.
Oh, I do apologise.
All right, then. So, to try to come up with some formats, then, for this Prime Ministerial TV debate, I'm saying Hole in the Wall or Come Dine With Me. David's saying, if I got this right, jumpsuits and a maths test. Kirsten, you're saying Twister or sumo suits.
Yeah.
And Bob is simply going for mud wrestling with Keith Chegwin. Bob, I'm going with Cheggers. That's your one. Okay,
That's Gordon for another 5 years, then.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to go to the next thing now. It's the first episode of the show, and we're trying to solve the world's problems. And we've got Bob Mills, Kirsten O'Brien, and David Tennant. And we're into the show, and I think we need to try and solve another problem. Like I said, this isn't just about the huge problems of the day. We're also going to do some local ones as well. And there's nothing better than delving into the local newspaper. This is an incredible story. The South Park's allotment in Devon is the sign of a crime. Not just any kind of crime. This is terrible. Days before the Torquay Allotments Association's annual show, a saboteur has been destroying the competition. Pumpkins stabbed through the heart. Is it dahlias?
Dahlias.
Yeah.
I knew you were going to struggle with that word.
Really dahlias. A gardening man at 36, Bob, but I looked to you there for guidance.
Yeah, dahlias.
Elderly man with his dibber out every Sunday. Poisoned with weed killer. So, panel, you've just got 1 minute, and that's the time it takes me to play the Crime Watch theme tune. Crime Watch theme tune is about a minute long. So I'm going to go around the panel, and you each need to try and get your solutions into how we can help the good people of the South Park's allotments in Devon. How can they protect their crops. Your time starts now. Bobby boy.
Well, I think the man who can do it is already there. They've been harping on for years and years, Midsummer Murders. Oh, this is what happens in the West Country. There's a murder every week. Obviously, all you're doing is knocking off each other's agapanthers. Get that fella, what used to be Bergerac.
Nettles.
That's whatever. Get him there and he'll sort it. And put it. That's your job now, fella out of Bergerac. You've
okay,
got to stand in the middle of an allotment.
David Turnham.
You dress up the allotment manager or any local caretaker in some kind of rubber suit. You call him the floral phantasm or the broccoli banshee. He haunts the allotment, and perhaps then the local ne'er-do-wells would be inspired to form some kind of ghost-busting team with
great
a talking
idea.
Dog.
Yes, perfect.
Beautiful.
Kirsten?
You know the fake bean tins you get with valuables in? We'll just do fake pumpkins. And so you put them over the real pumpkins, and people think, oh, these are just plasticky, horrible things. Nothing to see here. Move along.
What's the stuff they, if you try and nick any money from a Securicorp van, you get that purple ink?
Oh, the dye stuff, yeah.
They need to genetically modify... We've run out of time there.
Are you going to say frogs?
Fruit. Oh, I suddenly realised we were talking about vegetables.
All right.
But they might have been growing some of that as well. So Bob went with John Nettles to sort it out. Dave has gone for some kind of fantastical character that haunts them at
Scooby
night.
Scooby-Doo, Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo is what you're talking about.
That's
Kirsten went for
Scottish
fake pumpkins.
Accent.
I'm talking about GM fruit. Scooby-Doo, David Tennant.
Thank you.
This
can
is the best
say
way
it one
he
more
had
time.
That.
Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo.
In some voiceover work for David coming in then, let's face it. Needs it.
The Christian O'Connell Solution.
Five Live.
You listen to the Christian O'Connell Solution on Five Live. Time now for a problem for one of our guests, David Tennant. Thank you very much for coming in.
It's a pleasure.
Now, obviously, it's a lot easier to book you at the moment because I don't want to upset you or anything. You're unemployed.
Yeah, I can take that.
Between projects.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're not alone there. Almost 2.5 million people now are out of work at the moment, like David Tennant. And we can't sadly try and find work for all of you, but seeing as David's here, if I can just help just one of you...
Thank you.
...then I'd like to do that this morning.
Thank you.
So we're going to try and get David Tennant some work. You're already tweeting and emailing in jobs for David Tennant. But Bob and Kirsten, let's go to you first of all. What jobs do we think David could do next? Kirsten?
District nurse is an obvious one. You want me to take my clothes off? Fine. I'm sure you can completely persuade every woman to do that. But I was thinking, you know the guys that do the window washing when you're at the lights, the traffic lights?
Squeegee guys.
Yes.
Squeegee guys.
Because usually you clock them and you're like, no, put your wipers on. But you'd have just enough time for them to think, oh, how do I know him? And you dress like that sort of shabby chic that could get away with it.
Oh, that's a nice, thanks very much. Shabby chic.
You know,
shabby
chic. No, it's scruffy, man, isn't it? I mean...
Scruffy, this is my best shirt.
It is straining
it
a
is,
bit.
Yes.
What size is that?
It is a bit,
he's out of work,
I think it's
resting. He hasn't got the budget. But do you know what I mean? I think you could do that as a living because people would go, oh, I know him. Oh, hang on. I've got a quid in my purse for that and you could probably be quite good at
nice.
It.
Nice. Thank you.
When you said district nurse, I thought you meant him to, as his next acting role.
Like Nera
Hughes. Because that would be a 21st century take on it.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, the district nurse is back, but this time he's different. And it'd be you on the bike.
Yeah.
That's a cracking show.
Well, do you remember that TV show Badger, where he was like some kind of vet, but a vet detective, Flynn?
It was not Robson.
The other guy. Yeah.
The other
Deck,
guy after Robson.
The one on the
Jerome.
Left.
Yeah.
And whoever
Deck.
It is. You'd be good in Badger. Bring that back.
Yeah.
What actually happened in Badger?
He was a vet, but he was a vet with an attitude. That's what
he
was.
Yeah, he was. Seriously.
He was.
Great
he was a vet with an attitude. Yeah. You could do that. They could remake Harbour Lights, the great Nick Berry vehicle. There's a million and one things this man can do. He can do everything.
Thank you.
He can do voices. He can do Shakespeare. He can do this.
Can you do voices?
Well, in his CV, let me just pick him up here. It says you can do. I love actors' CVs.
Where on earth did you get my CV?
Where they lie.
Spotlight, where they all are, David.
Oh,
we've done our research.
What have I lied? Horse riding,
archery, sword fencing. I'll do it all. Your accents, you can do Cockney and Australian.
Can I?
Apparently you can.
I don't think I filled that form in.
Apparently you can. So let's have a bit of Cockney from David.
I don't think I'm getting paid enough.
No, let's say you come for a cast and we're doing the bill.
Yeah.
And we want a villain.
You were in the bill, weren't
I've
you?
I've been in the bill.
Yeah. What were you in the bill?
I was, I'll give you a bit of the bill with my best Cockney accent.
Go on, Ansel.
At the very end of the episode... I finally got nailed by DC Scott. And I had to say, we each get dealt a hand in life.
A Dick Van Dyke?
Some get a good hand, some not so good. We all have to play those cards as best we can.
Wow.
I'm a killer.
I remember. Well, that was when Lionel Bart was writing for the Bill.
Lionel Blair.
Oh, wow, that's amazing.
Can you do Northern? Because it says you can do Northern, but there's a big part of the North. Are you going Northeast?
Does it
northwest?
Say I can do Northern?
Yeah.
Who filled this form?
Come on.
You.
Humiliating. Give us your best Northern.
I don't think I can. I'm not going to embarrass myself in front of a real Northerner.
Say all roads lead to Rome. That's all. All roads lead to Rome.
I'm not a Geordie. But you know what? The Bairns of Cuddy Wifter.
We're going to need subtitles in the show to carry with
anything. The child smells a bit? Is that what that means?
No, left-handed. A Cuddy Wifter's a left-hander.
Anyway, listen, we were going somewhere. Bob was trying to...
It's tough. I just know
got very Radio 4 there for a second, didn't it?
I remember when I finished in Doctor Who, because I was in I did it with Peter Davidson.
Many years ago.
I was the Imperial Federator's bodyguard. If you're sitting at home now, Google it up. Bob Mills, Doctor Who. There's pictures of me. Imperial Federator's bodyguard. And it was the woman, Mrs. McCluskey, out of Grange Hill. Was the Imperial Federator.
The Imperial Federator.
Star Wars, isn't it?
She was Imperial Federator. I don't know what that is.
No.
I didn't. I'll be honest with you. I didn't research it. I just stood there in a thong and a headband, bodyguarding. I didn't have anything to say.
Let's get a picture of that up on the website.
Yeah.
Let's not. Some emails. This is from John Harris. Can I suggest that David Tennant could be Robert Peston's body double? He gets all the work.
Really?
You need someone.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think you were right first time. I think it is Preston, but someone made the mistake first and people have just been too polite to say anything about it. Because nobody is called Peston.
No.
It's not a word.
Peston and Mortar.
We've got some tweets as well. He could do the staff and customer service announcements at his local Tesco. It's not much, Chris, it's not much, but every little helps. He could...
What I liked there was the gap for applause.
Well, you know, you never know. It's the first show. I might get lucky. He could come and work for my travel company, Call Centre, as he has travel experience. Of course, as a Time Lord there.
Oh, I see.
Thank you very much to Happertree.
The People's Pickle. The Christian O'Connell Solution.
Five Live.
OK, this round is our... semi-regular look at the... semi-regular, we'll wait and see how it goes.
Oh, no.
It might never be back.
We've been on there 17 minutes.
Yeah, semi-regular item. And the world of stats, surveys and headline-grabbing so-called research. And the problem comes from a survey which revealed that underage teenagers in this country are more likely to get drunk than any other country.
Yeah.
We need a solution. How can we stop our tanked-up teenagers getting drunk? Kirsten, I'm going to go to you here because I get the feeling that...
Well...
A whiff of experience.
Oh, a whiff of something. Mad Dog 2020.
Fern Britton had that gastric band, didn't she? And now everyone wants one.
Everyone's trying to get a gastric band. It's this season.
No, it's gone up,
I'm going down Miss Selfridge straight after the show.
500% the people that want them. So I'm thinking maybe some sort of bladder band. Now, stick with me. You know, like when you go to the florist, stop sniggering, and you get that Oasis stuff that absorbs water. If somehow we
is
put
it
those...
called the green stuff?
Yeah,
okay.
I think it's called Oasis.
Okay,
and so you sort of sprinkle.
What do you mean
in...
the silica gel thing they get? The plant
that
thing.
Is green.
No,
polystyrene.
You've made a fool of yourself.
Have I?
Oh,
I'm
the
so
wireless.
Sorry.
But that would do just as well. Basically, the teenagers eat that, so then it's in their bladder. I know that's, like, not correct anatomically, is it?
No.
Stick with me. Somehow
just
it'll have
ethically,
to...
I was more worried about the ethics of poisoning teenagers rather than whether you've got an anatomically correct woman.
Somehow, it's a bladder band, so they can't drink that much. They physically can't drink that much. So then they need to go to the toilet more, and I hate going to the toilet, so I wouldn't drink as much when I was out. I'd just be like, oh, no, I won't bother because I'll need the loo and I'll have to queue and it'll be a faff. I've silenced the room.
Nice to use the word
faff
there as well.
Yeah.
It's a kids' TV show she used to do on the CBBC.
Oh, yeah. It's a faff with me.
It's Friday. It's 4 o'clock. It's time for faff. Don't know why I gave that accent there. Bob, how can we help teenagers drinking?
Well, I don't think we have to look at the problems here. Firstly, can I just say, just from your introduction there, the survey shows that our British underage teenagers are more likely to get drunk than those in any other country. So there you go, number one.
Yes.
Well done for a start.
Bob, you think it's something to be proud of?
Yeah, we've knocked the French and Italians into a cocked hat.
Lightweight.
With drunken children. I don't think the problem is that they're getting drunk. I don't think that's the problem. The problem is that when they get out on the streets and they start, what we used to call in my day, argy-bargy.
Well, that was a headline years ago.
There's a kerfuffle. They have a kerfuffle and they start pushing and shoving and being rude to each other and things get broken and one thing leads to another. What we need to do, fine, if they want to get, what do you call it, leathered?
Is that leathered,
the young people? If they want to get leathered, let them get leathered. But in the privacy of their own bedrooms. Now, Nintendo, they can play tennis, they can play football, they can travel
on
the world.
On the Wii. You're talking about the
Wii here, they can have war in their own bedroom. Why can't we have the Nintendo leather? Where they virtually drink. So they have a little glass. It would come with, it'd be like a little glass, like a little shot glass, I believe they're called. Have the shot glass with the little things that
like
press.
A yard of ale.
Yes, well, there you
or
go.
Or Party 7.
And so they're online with all their mates. Here, JK from DBB, whatever they're called, M to the X. I'm having a triple dandelion and burdock, whatever they... I don't know what the drink of choice is for children. And then they wee drink it. We drink we.
And then the we.
That's a...
It, perfect. Yeah. Yeah, you've completed it all there. David, what do we think we can do?
When I was a teenager, I was staying at my sister's flat. She was out of the country. And she... I've never told her this. I hope she's not listening. And she had a cupboard in which she had made some homemade wine.
Uh-oh.
She got, like, a kit out of Boots. She used to be able to get them out.
My dad used to do that. It's moonshine, basically. Yes.
Yeah. And she'd made this... nasty, nasty, nasty wine. And the first time I got really properly drunk was on my sister's homemade wine.
What happened?
Now, the combination of the 35% proof and the chemical tang of that stuff made me iller than I have ever been before. And I've never got that drunk since. Mm. So I think if around about maybe 10, 11, you force feed every child in the country a couple of gallons of that, they'll never want to drink again.
So this is controversial stuff from David Tennant. You're now talking about force-feeding 11 and 12-year-olds unready, because it was always unready, that stuff that was done under stairs, or something. My dad used to do
dear,
used to make
was,
his homemade beer and that. It was
really
disgusting.
It's funny, though, how things can change, because 3 minutes ago I thought nothing can get worse than Kirsten trying to physically put silica gel into their bladder. And yet here comes David.
Desperate times call for desperate measures, Bob.
But that will work.
Intravenously feeding them.
Yeah, all those young kids
with
tuning
tanning,
in today because David Tennant, their favourite actor's on there. And he's talking about poisoning your fan base.
Oh, it's a short, sharp shot,
right,
and you'll never go back.
No, you've got to be cruel to be kind.
Yeah. The big thing here is your dad, right? Mm-hmm. Your dads have got a role here, because anything your dad likes, you drop. I did. I remember my dad started to, oh, yeah, that band, The Oasis. Yeah, I like them. Yeah, The Blur as well. Yeah, I like them. You move on to something else. Dads need to start dad binge drinking, okay? You see your old man hanging around the precinct.
Have you not been to Middlesbrough?
It's your average Friday night, is it? Well, maybe they're using it as a test case up there or something like that. Okay, the best one there is, I thought the best solution, let's just go around them. Kirsten was talking about the bladder band, which I've had to veto for poisoning teenagers. Bob saying, we should be proud. This is something to celebrate. And also then talked about Nintendo Wii drinking and the new game that'll be out this Christmas, Nintendo Leather. And David was about basically poisoning them again as well. 11 and 12, a short, sharp shot.
Some kind of supervised arrangement.
My dad made me do a cigar. And that I never smoke, so it does work.
Right.
Proof of that.
On that, let's take a moment.
This is anecdotal rather than scientific evidence.
This sounds like it's a sort of therapy session with everyone to be honest, the last 10 minutes. Okay, right, the winner there, I'm going to go with David Tennant and his revolutionary and controversial scheme of trying to sort the problem out.
Take the tough decisions to make it work.
Good morning, this is the Christian O'Connell Solution on 5 Live. The idea, well, I thought it was simple before we actually started to do the show today. I've rounded up some of the biggest problems of the week, and my guests this morning is David Tennant, Kirsten O'Brien and Bob Mills are trying to come up with some new solutions for them. So far, we've solved problems like underage drinking, thanks to homebrew, vegetable sabotage and a new job for David Tennant as well. In about 10 minutes' time, we're going to be asking what you can do with your barbecues. Now, again, this has turned into the one show. We're going to be asking what you can do with those unused barbecues. Now the barbecue summer is officially over.
The VIP section. The Christian O'Connell Solution.
5 Live.
All right, this is where we pick a topic from the problem-laden world of celebrities and entertainment. This week's big issue, in need of a solution from us, is this. Before I go around to the team asking what... A couple of people have been texting in saying they don't know what the weird noises I make after each round. And the producer said, can I make it clear to everyone listening at this?
Now that, you see, that would be a round in its own right. What's the mystery noise? That's what radio's missing these days. The mystery noise competition.
There are stations doing that. It's actually a gavel that we have used some BBC resources in the production budget for this tiny little
gamble. It's beautiful, if I can describe it. It's a maple wood.
Yeah, I think it is, but I think you're right there. So Noel and Liam are finally split, and Oasis are no more. So I want to know, how can we get Noel and Liam back? Kirsten, you a fan?
I am, yeah. I think I heard their mum talking, and I think she sounds the character to get them back together. I think she should be on stage with them, making sure they don't scrap. I think that is the answer. Mum on stage. Because me and my brother used to fight with meat mallets and golf clubs when we were growing up, but if mum was there...
Well, it looks like an episode of Tom and Jerry or something, you're with. Meat mallets?
Yeah.
Why did you have meat mallets in the house?
We're from the north.
Actually,
we used to tenderise a lot of meat.
The better question would have been, what on earth are you doing with golf clubs in the house?
That's true, actually. No one does play golf in my family. I don't know why we've got them.
Just send
simply
the mum.
For violence. But yeah, basically, if their mum was on stage, they wouldn't muck about. So get her back and on with them.
You've got
tour.
A younger brother or sister?
Yes.
Mums rule the roost, because I had a younger sister. Whenever I was cruel to her, I would not be allowed to watch Brenda Brooks or Gary Davis do the top 40. TV show, that's what I mean. Now, I don't know what Liam doesn't like as a TV... Well, what he loves as a TV show, maybe he's a Lark Rise. It's a Candleford man or something.
I like to think so.
I like to think there's a bit of culture there in the
or
land.
Or Cranford.
What about Monica the Glen?
Oh, that's a lovely image.
Yeah.
They could watch that together with a cup of tea and a hobnob.
Well, no, so they can get the mum to sort of help them out that way. All run because Noel's been saying it's been quite abusive at times, the relationship, and there's that thing on YouTube of a guitar being smashed. Do you remember what they still do now with the Popemobile? Is there any way behind plexiglass, you know, like they do at the Bureau de Change, Noel could be there doing his bits where Liam can't get to him?
Okay. What was the quote? There was a quote where it was, I cannot believe the level of intimidation and threat that I've received from the people I work with. And I have to say, when I first saw it, I thought, oh, Christian's having a little rant again. but apparently it's... So Noel's left.
Noel's quit. That's it, before the Paris gig.
But you see, the wonderful thing is the moment, because Liam, I've met him, he's a hugely talented man, but he's a bolshy little tow rag. And you can just see him go, I don't care, our kid's gone, let him go, we don't need him, we'll just do another album, right? Who writes the songs?
Yes.
Well, Liam has done a few.
Oh, yeah, so's Ringo.
Okay, David, what can we do to get Noel back with his brother?
I think you just wait, don't you? I mean, it's a showbiz rule that eventually there will be...
Is that what you're doing at the moment for the offers?
Exactly.
Leave it!
Exactly. What? No? Okay.
Put your feet up and wait. You know, it's no matter how acrimonious it is, Spandau Ballet took each other to court to prove how much they hated each other.
Yeah.
And now they're off on tour again, like...
Mm-hmm. And I reckon Noel would take that example. Well, if you said to Noel, look at Spandau Ballet.
Yeah.
You know, you're like them a bit, aren't you? Yeah. Hadley and the Kemp Boys.
I suppose it's a slightly higher risk strategy, because the other possibility is that Liam keeps going, just replacing members, so that he becomes like Bucks Fizz. Mm. Well, there's one original member with a bunch of people you've never seen before, still wheeking the skirts off 25 years old.
My daughter went to an 80s weekend at Butlin's in Bognor Regis, where they have, you know, all these 80s bands, and there'll be one member and one...
Yeah.
And apparently the one you've got to see is Martin Fry's ABC, which is Martin Fry and about six people, most of whom are under 14. You know, they're all children. They couldn't have even been alive in the 90s.
Does that mean there are several ABCs? Every member of ABC has their own band.
I think it's like the Bay City Rollers. Right. At any point in time, there are 11 of them out on the road. Is it my turn? I jumped in over David.
No, that's just my bobbing, sure,
because I know there's a very strict structure to the way you're running.
Has that? I've not heard it during the last half hour.
I'd hit the gavel if I was you.
All right. Let's remind ourselves of what people came up with and solutions for the warring Gallagher brothers. Kirsty says, get the mum.
Yep.
Mama Gallagher has to play a part here. I'm saying Noel behind plexiglass, like a kind of Noel-mobile. Bob just said Liam's a tow rag. I love that phrase, tow rag. I haven't heard that in 20 years.
I don't think it's particularly a nasty thing to be called, is it?
No, it's all right. No, don't worry. And DT has said, just wait, like Spandau Ballet did as well. I'm going for the Spandau Ballet option there, David.
Thank you. Are we getting points?
I was going to say,
is there some kind of leaderboard?
I
had a couple now.
Straight away, the competition starts.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's that now he's won a couple.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Not earlier when he was struggling, not getting anywhere, but now he's getting his stride on here. All right, we've got an extra question here. Actually, this one's just for you, David.
Oh.
Okay, this comes from Matt in Australia. Christian, how do I get my wife, Jennifer, to look at me the same way as she looks at David Tennant. That's from Matt. Listen to us, Down Under. Down Under? Down Under.
Down Under?
It's London and Down Under. Thank you.
That sort of depends on how his wife is looking at him, doesn't it? I mean, is she looking at him with hate-filled eyes or with...
I think it's with dribble. Sort of a bit...
What, she not very well?
I want him.
You mean she in a coma? I don't know.
I mean, no, I never said that. I want to make it quite clear that
David Tennant
said
that. Well, we don't have enough details.
No, we don't. He's absolutely right. And also, she's looking at David Tennant on the television.
Yeah, in real life, it's awful.
In real life, yeah, it's
grim. Well, you called him Shabby Chic, whatever it was.
Yeah. If you could see the shirt and the hirsute, I have to say hirsute, unshaven look.
Yeah.
Maybe what the guy should do, go and stand in a box in the corner, and then she'll be looking at you in the same way that she looks at him.
All right. That's cleared that one up. Matt, I think we came up with some great stuff for you there, what you can actually do. So what we're saying is there something medically wrong with your wife? If you can please get back to us online, we better help you out.
The Christian O'Connell Solution.
Five Live.
All right, I've been looking forward to this the whole show. Our next topic comes from the page as one of my favourite periodicals. It's called Pick Me Up Magazine. And they do a thing here called the Photo Psychic. And what I'm about to tell you, I'm not making any of this up. I'm looking at it right now, page 55. It's a photo psychic who promises to solve your problems using her psychic powers, just as long as you send her a photo. And let's hear one of this week's big dilemmas.
I lost my guinea pig Les a while ago while he was in hospital. I miss my little man and I'm desperate to know if he's okay and whether he forgives me for the fact that he wasn't at home when he died.
I just need to describe, there is obviously a photo for the photo psychic, really to work these amazing powers.
Well, she needs
powers.
Something to latch onto.
And there's
she?
A picture of a ginger guinea pig, the late great. We all remember where we were this year when Michael Jackson passed away. I also remember when I found out that Les had moved over. This is an emotional subject panel. Please use sensitivity. What advice can we give to poor Les's owner about her little man?
Les.
Sorry, you're right. That's the way she's got the photo. Because if you tried to do it without even seeing the guinea pig, well, that'd just be hokum.
Exactly.
That would
bogus.
Be nonsense.
We'd all go, no way can you do that. You need to have a photo.
That's just
like
a
that.
Trick.
Yeah. There's smoke and mirrors there. What? Look, you know,
I'm
she's,
sorry,
she's
let's
struggling,
start
right?
again.
Les
now,
isn't right. around anymore, yeah. Bob.
Shush now.
So how can we...
Right, come on.
What advice can we give her?
Les. Sorry, Les. It's a ridiculous name for a guinea pig as well.
My dad knows a donkey called Gordon. Which I think is quite a lovely name for a donkey.
It's, yes.
Could you do us a favour? From now on, when you come on the show, can you write down everything you're going to say? And we just take a couple of days to go through it. My dad's got... No, it's a donkey called Gordon.
Yes, they use him in the nativity
Someone call
play.
Nicky Campbell. He needs to come in right now and take over the reins.
They use who in the nativity play? Your dad?
Or the donkey.
Oh,
Gordon.
The donkey. Is he a little donkey? Because otherwise, he's not really...
Oh, I didn't have a song about it.
What can we do to help poor Les's you owner? Put She's in a bad way.
Well, I think, you know when people always say they've had past lives, they always go big, don't they? They were Cleopatra, they were Henry VIII, they were never like Mrs. Miggins in the pie shop.
You're
so
right.
I think you've got to go big with this, I'm going to call it a lie, that might be slightly libelous, but, you know, say that poor Les, he's met Champion the Wonder Horse, you know, on the other side, he's best friends with Skippy and that Blue Peter dog what died is coming at Christmas, and so just make it like a big lovely world of fantasy. I think that'd be nice for that poor lady who's suffering.
That's
she
right.
thinks, oh, Les has gone to a better place now. Mm. He's with Skippy. He's with Champion. Is it the Wonder Dog or Horse?
The Horse. Champion the Wonder Horse. You were right first time.
Okay, on that controversial note there from Kirsten, our guest there, let's move on.
The Christian O'Connell Solution.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Well, I can't have a feeling that we've had our first fail on the show. We've let down Les. Let's move on. Welcome back. We've solved some of the world's biggest problems and already during the last 45 minutes. And now we need to turn our attention to you, dear lovely listeners. This dilemma was sent to us during the week on our Twitter page. If you just go to twitter.com/theOCSolution.
Now that the barbecue summer is officially over, what can I do with my barbecue?
Let's see what the paid-for monkeys in the studio have come up with. So how can we help our little Twitterer here? David?
Well... Now that, you know, in these straitened financial times, I'm guessing that a bag of barbecue briquettes from the 24-hour service station is probably cheaper than gas. So you just move it indoors and huddle around it like a little brazier.
It's good for the elderly,
indoor,
isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, an indoor heater.
Yeah. Are you a gas man or are you a briquettes?
I have a barbecue, but I don't, and it's a gas one. I haven't quite got the gas yet.
So one of the slaves or hired monkeys or whatever you live there, well, some huge mansion in the West Wing. They sort that out, don't they?
No, the work's dried up. I've had to let them go.
No, what? Oh, yeah. That's shocking. Kirsten.
Controversially,
that was a surprise.
I like to use mine as a squirrel trap. So you put nuts underneath the slatted grate bit, and then
the grill, I think they call it.
That's the fella. So. They wedge their arrogant, jowly visages in there and get stuck. And I know this works because I got my head stuck through the gates of the Colosseum in Rome, and we had to sun cream them out. So it definitely, you can get your
sun cream them out.
Yeah, yeah. I had to sun cream my ears to get my head back out of the. I got it stuck through the bars at the Colosseum in Rome.
You could roast chestnuts on them, couldn't you? Because when you pass them in the street,
not on the squirrels. You're not talking about using
what
that
on the gates of the Colosseum in Rome. There's probably a bylaw.
EU won't have this.
No, you're not.
Sorry, Kirsty, carry on. You're talking about grilling.
So trap the squirrels in. They'll put their heads through, and then they're stuck, and then you can dispose of them in whatever means.
You can eat a squirrel. You could grill it while it was there.
You talking about just the grey ones as well?
Yes, I like the red ones.
Yeah, because there's not many of them around anymore.
And pick up all my balls.
So you're talking about using a disused barbecue, just so I get this right,
as some squirrel trap,
squirrel genocide.
Yes.
Right.
What fascinates me isn't that she says is but that you then try and draw more information.
You notice.
So what exactly would you do with this squirrel? I'm with you. I think bring him inside. But the reason is this. I've had the barbecue. Like everybody else, I've had as many barbecues as there have been summers. Because I have to buy a new barbecue, because it's either go down and get one or clean it. And we know that ain't going to happen. That's not happening ever. So when I get a barbecue, I light it. And what happens is, in the winter, my children will be coming in and saying to Jan, it's really smoky. It's affecting us. We're getting asthma. Why does he have to... And she'll say, you know how long it took him to light it. Just leave it, all right? Please, don't put it out again. Otherwise, we'll have that terrible, terrible 15-hour thing of petrol going on. And then, oh, that'll be all right. Look, the coals, you've got to wait for the coals to get wet. So once you've got it lit, never, ever. And if anyone says, what's that? Just say, Olympics are coming. They've asked me to look after the torch.
2012 will soon be here.
It'll soon be here, and I'm keeping it. I'm keeping the home fires burned, the eternal flame.
All right, David went down the avenue then of some kind of cheap alternative fuel source for the elderly. Kirsten's weirdly managed to drag this into some sort of weird squirrel trap. Bob said, keep it going, just leave it. It took him ages to get going, and then he used it as an Olympic torch. I'm not going to go with the squirrel trap. I'm going to go with yours, Bob, as the Olympic torch.
Yes.
I think that's a nice money-saving thing. All right, then, it's time for the next one.
The Weekly Whopper. The Christian O'Connell Solution.
Five Live.
So this is kind of like, not quite our unfinely, but it's called the Weekly Whopper, and today it's all about global warming. I like we just chucked it in at the end there, global warming. The Guardian this week backed a campaign to try and promote everyone cutting their own individual carbon footprints by 10% before 2010. It's not a bad solution, but I'm sure we can do better. How can we try and solve, then, this huge problem of global warming? David, I mean, what's the carbon footprint on the old TARDIS?
Well, it's very green. It's mutually renewable sources.
Yeah, it's got a Prius engine inside.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we all know how good they are. Yes. Other hybrid cars are available.
What are you doing voiceover work for?
I would stop the endless camera crews flying to the polar ice caps to watch them melting. I'm sure. I mean, it's a terrible thing, and we have to see we have to see how bad it is. But every day there's another camera crew flying halfway across the world,
yep,
getting in 4x4s, driving across the polar ice caps, shining lights on them,
yeah,
and then they stand there with them dripping around them, going, "Look how terrible it is." Well, of course it's terrible. All your cars are turning over just off camera there.
You're right. We've got it in the can. We've seen the weeping polar bears.
We know it's bad.
Yeah, it's done. That's it now. Move on.
Stop going in to heat them up.
Yeah. Okay, Kirsten. Global warming.
Well, I've got a super duper fridge that makes like loads of different types of ice. It does cubes, it does shapes, it does slush. If everybody made ice and we sent it there, would that, you know, help? If we
that would offset. Why wouldn't
if
that
we
work?
Recycled it.
Some sort of Blue Peter appeal you're talking
yes.
about.
Yes, send in your ice, and we'll send it to the polar bears.
Yeah, do you, sure you're about melting and storing it. Yeah.
Well, there can be some sort of jiffy bag scenario that can keep it cold and frozen, and then get it over there. And they could drop it. Open the door like they drop those food parcels, just shower them with ice. Ooh, the polar bears would be leaping around in it.
And this is a true story, right? When this first broke about global warming, right, I was at school, and my science teacher, quite an old guy, and he said this, we started asking about it. Sir, you know, what's this about global warming, something like that? He went, it's a load of rubbish, and I'll demonstrate to the whole class, please gather around. And he got a glass of water, and then put two ice cubes in it, and we had to measure not whether the level went up at all, and it didn't.
All right, so if you more ice falls into the sea, because
I'm not saying that,
aren't the icebergs that are melting, aren't they in the sea anyway to start with?
Yeah.
So if a bit falls off, you're exactly. Why would that make this?
I mean, we're not scientists here. Obviously, I'm sure there's more science and other than ice cubes in a glass of water.
Yeah, I wouldn't. You know, I wouldn't say we can give up. No, on the 10-10 campaign.
I was going to ring Jonathan Porritt, whatever he's called, for the Green Party, and go, listen, my science teacher, Mr. Wilson.
It's a terrible thing, and you shouldn't ever be facetious about it. But having said that.
Going to be
when you read the science and they say we should be so careful because if we drive our cars the temperature of the earth could rise in the next 5 years by a whole degree and you sit there and think I wouldn't know now if the temperature went up a degree or down a degree. I don't think it makes it, but apparently it does.
Yeah,
they do say that in 50 years you could wipe out an area the size of Essex with global warming and flooding, which is a terrible thing, unless, of course, you've ever been to Essex. In which case, you look at it in a slightly different light.
Well, thanks for listening, Essex, and, you know, Five Live, who are waiting to come on in 5 minutes' time. They're going to love this show, aren't they? I'm also thinking as well, you know, you mentioned about fridges.
Mm.
Again, no scientist here. I got grade D in biology, GCSE. But I'm thinking, could everyone not open their fridges for just a little bit? If we all did that at a certain time of the day around the world, 6 o'clock or whatever, would that not cool the Earth's core down?
Mm. This is why George Bush wasn't the best president, you see, because this is the kind of science he relied on.
This is a policy he had.
Yeah, exactly.
A couple of tweets to come in about solving global warming. Giant 71, hello, he says we should dig a massive hole. Then the water will drain away.
Oh, simple. There you go. That's a kind of forward-thinking
that's
people.
What we need.
We need running this planet. Sponges.
Urs, 1871, says get around the rising sea levels by using kitchen rolls with thirst pockets to soak up the extra seawater. And someone else, Random Beck, is suggesting using a global air conditioner. Some sort of ceiling fan, maybe off the moon or something, can be used there. Okay, so the solution's there to try and solve global warming. David used the opportunity as a shameless plug for a new car of his. and then went on to say, stop people flying to the Arctic in the first place to film it all. Kirsten said we should send over ice cubes. And Bob is saying, just in a word, Essex. Okay, I'm going to... David's is the best solution in that one. Okay, all right, then let's do the next one.
Christian's Conundrum. The Christian O'Connell Solution.
Five Live.
So we've tried to do our bit in the last hour to solve some of the big and small problems, but this is a personal one for me, and I need you all to listen carefully. I need you to think whether you think this is a job of a man or a woman. This is a true story. We bought a mattress a couple of years ago, okay? You know, they're not cheap, are they, mattresses?
No, no.
And it came with a lifetime guarantee. So it's worth, you know, stretch yourself to get this mattress. You will never have a bad night's sleep again on this baby. Fast forward 2.5 years, this mattress, it's terrible, you know, I keep rolling and you're sinking into the middle. So I rang up the people and they said, have you been turning it and rotating it? And I said, of course, yeah, every 3 months, as you said. He said, I don't mean to call you a liar, sir, but we're going to have to send round a mattress inspector. So I had to strip the mattress, okay, and the mattress inspector came round and basically got on the mattress with his shoes off, with myself, and said, what exactly is the problem, Mr. O'Connell? This genuinely happened. And then we almost had an argument / fight in my bedroom because he accused me of there's no way this thing has been rotated. And I said, well, I wouldn't lie. And he went, I see this all the time, sir. And I'm going to have to put it down on my form. And he actually had like a clipboard where he said, this has not been rotated. Now, I thought this was one of the most awkward experiences of my life. I said to my wife, this is a thing that you should have done because he's going to feel awkward about saying to a woman, you haven't rotated this with a man, it's easy, you know, to have a go at him, basically, and call him a liar. Do you think it's a job of a man or a woman in a relationship to deal with the mattress inspector?
So you're trying to force your wife to lie on a mattress with a stranger for the sake of getting some money off?
That's a seedy way...
There's another name for that.
That's a seedy way to see it, David, but... Essentially, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Go and lie down with that bloke and like, save us a few bob.
There are two things that strike me. Firstly, how lovely to hear the phrase argument slash fight. That's nice to hear again. And also, I want to see his passport. Because I want to see... It doesn't have occupations now, but in the old days, you used to have the occupation. And I want to see the words mattress inspector written down on an official... In fact, when he came, I'd have insisted on some ID. Hello, I'm the mattress inspector. Well, that's easy to say.
That one again. Yeah. We've got the third one this week.
Oh, yes. Have you got an official laminated card with mattress inspector?
Well, they rang the day before and said, Gary... will be there, as if there was people just on the off chance knocking on doors going, and on the mattress inspector. Kirsten, what do you think?
Listen, I just think you're so tight.
Yeah. What do you mean I'm
never
tight?
I've never heard anyone complain about their mattress. Like,
I wasn't a former slave.
My mattress.
I bet you're Scottish.
I'm on my third mattress.
What,
I've been back to replace it
money,
twice.
Yeah, but we've read the tabloids. We know what you get up to. You get the old sonic screwdriver out. All those young starlets. No one even knackered three of them. That's how you hurt your back.
Can I ask you a question?
Getting through the mattresses, you pervert.
Right, Chris, why don't we have the test here of this programme? It's a live programme. You're live on air to the nation. Tell me the truth. Did you rotate your mattress?
We are now going to have to wrap things up there for this week's gripping instalment of the Christian O'Connell Solution. If you've got any better ideas about what to do about my mattress situation, please, you could tweet me during the week. The problems will keep coming in. All week on Twitter, you can help us out for next week's show by following us at the OC Solution. Thank you very much to David Tennant, Kirsten O'Brien and Bob Mills. If you missed any of the show, the simple solution... See what I've done there. Is to download the podcast. It's at bbc.co.uk/5live or listen again on the iPlayer. And above the title production, Spot on 5 is coming up next. We'll see you next Sunday.
Thanks for downloading from the BBC. To find other downloads or more information, go online.
bbc.co.uk/5live.